Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Today we're going to take a little bit of a left turn, if we may, and I want to share around a subject that I just really feel that the Holy Spirit put on my heart for us to share out of God's Word. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway, but I was just wondering if it was okay. If you're taking notes, thank you, team. I'm going to ask for the keys to stay with me, though. Thank you, Jesse, always leading the charge and the claps. We love our worship team. If you're taking notes this morning, I would encourage you to. Helps you remember maybe something of our conversation today. If you're taking notes, you can write the title of our conversation. You can write this down. It's trust issues. Trust issues. You ever had trust issues? I have. Trust issues. If you don't like that title, I know some of you don't by the looks on your faces, I have another one for you. You can write this down. You don't know me. You don't know me. Really quickly, just take a moment, look, pick a neighbor that's either sitting your left or your right, look at them right in the eyes and just say, you don't know me. Sense some hesitancy. Really quickly, if you could just look at the other neighbor that you obviously don't know as well because you just ignored them, just look at them now and say, hey, you don't know me either. You don't know me. We're going to read some Bible this morning where the Holy Spirit challenged me and I believe is going to encourage us and challenge us as a church today. We're going to read out of 2 Timothy. I just want to give some quick context out of what we're about to read because when I read this scripture recently and as I so often found where God's word is so vital and practical for my life and the culture of what's going on in the world around us. And I think it's interesting, we're about to jump in. Paul, the apostle Paul, is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor. He's been pastoring this church in Ephesus for about 4 years. But Paul, in writing this letter to Timothy, is actually in prison. Paul is in prison for doing what God has called him to do, for building the church. And Paul understands at this point that he's essentially on death row. The government has started killing Christians, and Paul knows that he's next in line pretty soon. It's not just a rumor. Paul has come to the understanding, I'm going to be killed for my faith pretty soon here. And so within that context, Paul is writing to Timothy almost as if to encourage him and say, I'm about to be gone and I want to encourage you with the present and the future of the church. And I just think it's interesting how practical it is for us today. I'll read it. I'm going to see what you think. 2 Timothy verse chapter 3 says this, Paul writing to Timothy, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. That's encouraging. People, watch this. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I don't think that's just culturally now. I think that's been since the beginning of time. Parents, can I get an amen? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Paul is just reminding Timothy the state of humanity and what the state of humanity will continue to be. And Paul reminds Timothy, as in leading the church, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres, we'll call them JJ, it's easier, opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of these men, their folly will be clear to everybody. Paul is simply reminding Timothy, don't be shocked when you see this take place. As you pastor, as you lead a church, and as you live as a Christian following Jesus. And then Paul, the Bible says this, it's his final charge to Timothy. And so Paul wants to encourage Timothy with these last thoughts in this letter. He says, you, however, know all my teaching. Know about all my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and that place, because I can't pronounce it, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And yet here is Paul saying this, writing this on death row in prison. Verse 12, in fact, everyone, watch this church, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That shocking reminder that if we're really gonna live this Christian life following Jesus, we will face persecution. It is not all bunny and roses. Bunnies and roses, I don't know where that came from. I think it's an important reminder to have some context and perspective as well of sometimes our perception of what Christian persecution is when somebody took our seat on Sunday while there are Christians being killed for their faith around the world. Paul reminds Timothy, hey, you're gonna face persecution. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, I love this. Paul tells Timothy, while the world may be going that way worse and worse, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you have learned it and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul encourages Timothy, while the world gets worse, you keep on following Jesus. And it is the word of God that actually gives you wisdom to understand the truth and the power of salvation in Jesus. And then this is kind of where our conversation is going to take us today. Paul reminds Timothy of something very important. And very important for us as the church today. Paul reminds Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. Sometimes I don't like that word all. We see this happening in culture and even in the church where we think maybe like most of the Bible is God-breathed. Or that area that I prefer is God-breathed. But that area that is challenging me and convicting me, I don't like that part. But Paul reminds Timothy, hey, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God, so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. My prayer today, church, I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag with this message. My prayer is that when we read a verse like this, where we're reminded where all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and training in righteousness, is that if you're like me, sometimes I read a verse like that and I think, yeah, amen. It is useful for teaching others. It is useful for rebuking other people. It is useful for correcting somebody else. But my prayer is that we would understand as the church that first and foremost, that verse is for me. All scripture is God-breathed and I need it to rebuke me. I need it to correct me. I need the word of God to train me for righteousness so that I may be equipped to do everything God has called me to do. How does that perspective shift change? I love this verse. This moment of scripture, I would suggest it's one of the most humble prayers in God's word. This is King David. He says this in Psalm 139. I love this verse. It's a scary verse as well. He says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Can you imagine really praying that prayer? God, search my heart. All of it. Search my heart. Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody ever had anxious thoughts? Four of us? Wow. See if there is any offensive way in me. So often we're so consumed with when people offend us and we're not concerned if we are offending God. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Can we pray? Why don't we pray? Here in person and online. Jesus, I thank you for your presence today. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you are here. Without you being here this morning would almost be a waste of time. God, I thank you. God, I so believe that you designed for every person to be in this service today that is here, that is watching online. You are so glad that each person is here. God, you want to speak to all of us today. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to your word, open to change, open to transformation, open to your grace and truth. God, for me personally, I ask for your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. I am fully aware I am nothing without that. And God, we just pray as a church together that the New York Jets would win just one game this year. And everybody said, come on, if you can't at least agree for them to win one game, like you just don't like me. Or you just don't like the Jets. Thanks, Mark. Church, I've come to find that there tends to be two types of people in life. There are those that when you discover an issue with your vehicle, a noise or a clanking sound, something is obviously wrong with your car, your truck, there are those of us who immediately take our car to the mechanic. And then there's another group of people who I identify myself with. When we hear a noise in our truck that may be an issue or clanking, whatever it may be, we like to see how far we could go before we have to take our truck to get fixed or before it needs to be towed to the repair shop. About 8 months ago, I was going to say just recently, but I would have to use that word loosely. About 8 months ago, my truck started to make a squeaking noise. And at first, it wasn't too concerning. And I'm like, well, I don't want to take it in yet because maybe it'll just go away. And it was like a cute squeaking noise. It was like there was baby birds nested underneath my truck. And I don't want to disturb baby birds. I want to let them grow up and be all that God has called them to be. A couple of weeks go by and it doesn't sound like cute baby birds anymore. It sounds like baby birds that are falling out of the nest and just terrified. And then a couple more weeks go by and the squeaking is louder and louder. And it got to the point where my friends in my life came up to me. And they were just like, Josh, we just need to know that you know how loud your truck is. I'm like, I know, isn't it cool? It's a Hemi, the exhaust system, it sounds so cool. I'm like, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the demon manifestation that is in the front of your truck. And then I'm driving around and it seems like everybody is just noticing me. I'm like, man, our TV ministry must be taking off. Our online campus is just killing it. Like everybody just seems to look at me while I'm driving. They just recognize, they've seen me preach. And it's like, no, they just hear the squeaking of my truck. Brooke, a couple of weeks ago, she told me, she said, Josh, we know if I get home before you, Liv's my daughter, we know when you're coming home because we can hear your truck squeaking down the road. Like we know when you're on the way home. But that wasn't the last straw. The last straw was just this last week. I was driving out of my neighborhood. There's a daycare at the end of our neighborhood, and I had the windows up because I'm just in denial. Just the squeak's not there. And I drive by these group of mothers with their children waiting to drop their kids off to school. I don't know what you call a group of moms. It's like a pod of moms or like a mom squad. And I drive by these group of moms with their children. And as I get closer to them, they all look at me in unison and cover the ears of their children. And then they all look at me and church, they judged me. I felt the judgment. It was like, are you a lunatic? Who would drive this truck in public? And this was the last straw. I was genuinely embarrassed. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to take it to the mechanic because I can't fix it. I am aware that I am incapable of fixing my truck. The only thing mechanically I've ever fixed is a mechanical pencil in middle school. And even that was a stretch. So I take it. I ask a friend of mine, I said, where do you take your truck to get fixed? Who can I trust? Who's a reliable mechanic? It's going to give me a fair price. And he told me, and I went, I dropped my truck off. I said, what's the problem? I said, sir, there's a squeaking. It's making a squeaking noise. He said, well, you sure it's not the rain? I said, sir, you hop in my truck and you drive. And you tell me if there's not a demon hiding in my truck somewhere. And what do? We drop it off. We wait for the phone call to find out what the diagnosis is. And And I hope it's not gonna be some crazy price. And he calls me, lets me know what the diagnosis was. And it was exactly what my friend told me 8 months earlier. Would have been a lot cheaper if I took it in 8 months before. But he fixed it, and I drove away from the mechanic store church that day. I felt like I bought a new truck. Like, I immediately went to the daycare to see if the moms were still there. Guys, it's all better. Your children are safe. You know, I thought about this. How ridiculous would it have been if I just refused to take my truck to the mechanic? Just in denial. Yeah, the squeaking's not that bad. It's you, your ears are the issue. You have sensitive ears. It's just gonna go away. Even further, how ridiculous would it be when the mechanic called me, said, Josh, it's the wheel bearing, that's the issue, it's gonna cost this much, and if I just denied it, said, absolutely not. I know that you're the only one that can fix my truck, but I want it back. He said, you understand, sir, that it does really sound like there are demons in your truck. I'm like, sir, I'm a pastor, I enjoy the spiritual warfare, give me my truck back. How ridiculous would it be if you just, no, you're wrong. I'm just gonna keep living and dealing with this squeaking in my truck. You would say, you would think probably towards me, Josh, you're an idiot. Yet how often I have found myself, church, doing this same thing in my Christian walk. God, here I am. God, I'm here to serve you. I give you my life. You can take all of me. And then an area of my life begins to squeak. There's an area of my life that is broken. I have a sin problem, and how often I refuse to take it to the only place that can diagnose and forgive and restore who I am. How often I live in denial. Say, God, I know I said I'd give you my life, and I trust you with all of my life except for this area over here. Or essentially what I'm saying is, God, I trust me. I trust me more than you. Church, I believe is important as well to be reminded, especially with I see this in culture, but even in the church, I believe it's important that we are reminded there is only one solution to sin, and it is Jesus Christ. It is the cross of Calvary. There is no other way. There is no gray area. The Bible says Jesus prayed, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. And we know the only solution to sin is Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only solution to our sin. And here's the thing, as a follower of Jesus, there is a trust shift that takes place. As I give my life to Jesus, as I'm following him, I no longer trust the world. But I now choose to trust God and his word. Which brings us to a very important question. Why? Why is it that we trust God? I'm gonna make the assumption that maybe we understand that God is perfect, God is holy, God has never failed, he never will. But is there more to it? Maybe you're not a Christian today. And you're sitting here thinking, yeah, why do you trust God? Why is it that all of y'all trust God? If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write down some of these reasons I believe we trust God. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Number one, I trust God because nothing else, nobody else created you. Did you know that God created you? Not only did he create you, but he created you in his image. One of the most important verses in the Bible, Genesis 1:27, says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I trust God because he created me. I trust God because he's my creator. He is my designer. Secondly, I trust God because nothing else, nobody else knows humanity more than God. Did you know that? Nobody else, nothing else understands humanity, the human condition, more than God. I love in John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Church, may we be reminded that Jesus himself took on the human condition. Jesus, who was fully God, gave up his royal status and became fully God and fully man, and lived the human life, the perfect human life that you and I were incapable of living, and chose to die on the cross, not just for you, but as you. Rose from the grave, defeating the devil, defeating sin, defeating who we used to be. Nobody understands what it is to be human more than our Savior. And here we are trying to figure this thing called life, trying to be human. And our Savior knows more than any of us. Knows the human condition better than you, better than me, better than anything else. Knows the purpose of life, the why of why you are alive more than anyone else. Thirdly, I trust God because nothing else, nobody else knows me more than God. Did you know that? Nobody knows you better than God. Nobody knows you better than God. You could try to think about God with thoughts in a second. God can think about more thoughts about you in 1 second than you can think about God in your entire life. God knows every hair on your head. In my case, the receding hair on my head. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your dreams. He knows your habits. He knows your tendencies. He knows what you like, what you don't like. He knows what you did last summer. He knows what you're going to do next summer. God knows you more than you know yourself. And God invites us to know him, to know forgiveness, to know grace. I love the story in the Bible where Jesus meets a woman at the well. And we can identify with this story and with this woman because she, like many of us, is trying to fill a void in her life with something else other than Jesus. And Jesus reveals to her that he knows her. We know the story that she goes back into her hometown and she says, you need to meet a man that knew everything I ever did. And I wasn't condemned, but he invited me to know him, to know change, to know transformation. Church, this is no cheap grace that we talk about here at Wave Church. We do not limit the grace and forgiveness of God to a quick fix so that we can keep on sinning. No, the grace of God empowers, equips me to go and sin no more. To really live in freedom. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lastly, we trust God because if 1, 2, and 3 are true, if God created me, if God knows humanity more than anybody else, if God knows me more than anybody else, then that means God knows what's best for me more than anyone else. God knows what's best for humanity. He knows what's best for his church. He knows what's best for your plan and purpose he has for your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I trust God because he is holy, because he is perfect, because he's never failed. And I trust God because he created humanity. He knows what it is to be human. He knows me more than anybody else, better than anybody else, and he knows what's best for me. And while that is the case, there are things in life that I have learned to stop trusting. Firstly, I've learned to stop trusting the New York Jets organization because they keep giving me reason after reason after reason to not trust that they will win. I've learned, this may only be for a few of you today, I've learned to stop trusting my golf game. I love golf. I haven't found it yet, but I'm just sure it's biblical. I'm just certain it's in there. I've learned to not trust my golf game because the moment I think I've figured it out, I know a disaster is looming right around the corner. Thirdly, maybe you've heard me talk about this, I've learned to stop trusting my sense of direction. Without Waze or maps, I wouldn't be here today. That's a fact. Let's go a little deeper. As a follower of Jesus, as I learned to trust God and his word, I've also learned to stop trusting other things. And what I'm about to say may sound so obvious, but church, how often we find ourselves still trusting these things I'm about to say. As a follower of Jesus, I've learned to stop trusting the lies of the enemy. Humanity struggled with this since the beginning of time. God told Adam and Eve, spoke to them clearly, and along comes the enemy. Well, maybe you don't have to trust exactly what he said. What if you do eat the fruit? You can trust yourself more than you can trust this lie. Secondly, I've learned, as a follower of Jesus, I've learned to stop trusting myself. Maybe more specifically, as I've learned to stop trusting my old self. Yes, as a Christian, I'm a new creation, but I am working out my salvation. Can I get an amen? The sanctification process. And so I have learned that I can't always trust my feelings to lead my life. I can't always trust my desires to lead my life. I can't always trust my unrenewed thoughts to lead my life without first submitting it to the word of God, because I can't trust me. Thirdly, I've learned to stop trusting the world's wisdom over the Bible. Trends, social media quotes, and theories come and go, but God's word is the only thing that lasts forever. Can I get an amen? Yeah, if you could give God a hand, let's give him one. Maybe here today you think, yeah, Josh, we get it. Sounds good. But how often, at least, I still find myself with trust issues with God and his word. I understand God is holy. He's perfect. He's never failed. He's incapable of failing. I understand he created humanity. I understand he understands what it is to be human. He knows me better than anybody else. He knows what's best for me. But how often I still find myself with trust issues with God and his word. And this is what I have found. The issue is not God. The issue is not his word. The issue is pride. It's pride. Pride says, God, I know better than you. And humility simply says, God, you know better than me. You ever notice pride keeps us from trusting God with certain areas of our lives? Pride keeps me trusting God with maybe my weakness, the unknown. Pride keeps me from trusting God with my pain, with my past. Pride keeps me from trusting God with my money. But there's one thing I want to focus on today that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about. It's pride so often keeps me from trusting God with my sin. Pride says, God, I trust my sin in my hands more than I trust my sin in the hands of my Savior. And pride keeps me from trusting God's word on the reality of what sin is and isn't. Pride says, well, I get to decide what is sin. And culture should get to decide, and the world should get to decide what is right and wrong. But humility says, I don't trust myself to decide what sin is or isn't, and culture to decide what is right and what is wrong. Humility says, only the Bible gets to dictate and declare what is sin and what isn't. And while pride, maybe you can relate to this, while pride allows some, maybe even most of my sin in the hands of my Savior, pride still keeps some of my sin to myself. You ever notice that? I went on a snowmobiling trip early this year with Pastor Steve, Pastor Jared Klingmeyer, my dad and brother-in-law. and a gentleman who's a pastor. His name's Pastor Kevin. We were up in Maine, which if I'm not mistaken is the very top of the United States of America, right below Canada, right where the border of where freedom ends. Can I get an amen? It's a joke. It's okay. Sort of. And it was beautiful. In the wintertime, towards the end of winter, there was a snowstorm the day before. But Pastor Kevin, before he was a pastor, his career was a test pilot. And not just for like the nice smooth planes, but for like the stunt planes. And his job was to test the limits of these planes. There's something a little wrong with you if that's what you do for a career. But I love it. And I love the fact that he is our guide on this snowmobiling trip, because you want somebody a little crazy if we're going to have some fun. And so we start this snowmobiling. It's my dad and Jared and Kevin and his brother, and we all have the gear on and the helmets. We have Bluetooth and speakers so we can hear and talk to each other in case anything goes wrong. And we're just having so much fun. And these things go 70 miles an hour. And we're going through the mountains, and then we start going over frozen lakes. One of the big lakes, he says, guys, you see those areas? It's a little lighter. It kind of looks like slush. Stay away from those. Like, okay, why? He said, because you'll sink. He said, well, what will happen if we do? He said, we won't find you until the summertime. I'm like, we're going to avoid that. And we're going over all of these frozen lakes, no issue. And then we get to one lake in particular, and Pastor Kevin, our God, he stops. We're thinking, okay, maybe something's wrong. We need to check something. And I don't know if he forgot or not that we can hear everything in Bluetooth. He calls his cousin. We can hear the whole conversation. Hey, cousin, we're at Lake so-and-so. And I just wanted to check, you know, because it's this lake, if the ice is still deep enough. You wanted to check. Like, we can hear the guy, Kevin, we can hear you. And his cousin says, yeah, I was there a couple of weeks ago. It seemed fine. It seemed fine? Like, Kevin, how deep is the lake? He's like, it's deep enough. So here's what we got to do. He said, it should be fine. But you just got to keep enough speed. If something were to go wrong, you can hopefully keep going. Hopefully. And then he just goes. It's like, this is the only way home. And then his Bluetooth cut out. And so one after one, we each go. And keep in mind, we can hear each other. My prayer authority, best it's ever been. Some of us were praying in a heavenly language. Some of us were praying in a sinful language. I'm not going to call out. We got to the other side and said, hey, Kevin, that was fun, but let's not do that again. I said, Kevin, I trusted you with all the other lakes, but this lake, I don't trust you. Church, God wants you to know that you can trust him with even that lake. That sin that you keep avoiding and hiding from God that he's already aware of, God wants you to know you can trust him with it. God can handle all of your sin. Don't buy the lie of the enemy that if you just keep it in the dark, it'll be safe there, friend. Embrace the truth of the word of God. If you bring it into the light, you can experience grace, forgiveness, and what real freedom is. God can handle all of you. I want to close with this. The band can come on up. In the keys. Y'all still with me? Online, still with me? I want to close with this, because as I was preparing this message, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to talk about this. And I found myself here many times. And it is pride produces something. Pride produces a weary soul. Pride produces a restless soul. When we allow pride to keep sin to ourselves, it produces a weary soul. Church, have you ever been there? And we keep going to anything other than the one thing that can bring rest to our souls, and we keep going to that thing, hoping this time it would bring fulfillment and satisfaction, that temporary escape. But each time we find ourselves left and our soul is even more restless and even more weary. Church, can I encourage you today to stop trusting the world with your soul? And if you're here today, and if you're, and church, I've been here many times. If you're here today and your soul is weary, your soul is restless, I've got good news for you. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. Church, catch this. Jesus says, come to me. Trust me again. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, watch this, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like the way that the Message translation says it as well. Jesus says, are you tired? Church, you ever been there where your soul is tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, trust me again. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Wouldn't that be nice? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh, church, how often I've found myself with a weary, with a restless soul. How often do we find ourselves with a weary and restless soul? Well, what is the answer, friend? Rest is found in humility. May we be humble enough to pray the prayer that David prayed. God, I admit I can't handle this on my own anymore. I choose to lay aside pride. God, search my heart again. Search all of it. I wonder, church, when was the last time that you asked the word of God to search your heart? I wonder when was the last time that we prayed the prayer, God, I humble myself again. And I ask that you would search all of me. Test me. I want to suggest one of the most important things for the church to do, for us to do as followers of Jesus in these maybe quote unquote end times, is to invite the word of God into our hearts. Trusting God's word enough to change us and correct us. Church, where we stop rebuking people publicly and we start allowing the word of God to rebuke us privately. Where I stop trying to find a Bible verse to justify my life's actions and I start allowing the word of God to dictate and direct my life's actions. Can I get an amen? Church, I believe the world needs a church that has stopped trusting in the world, but that trusts in the word of God, that reads a verse like 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And I pray that we are the kind of church that reads it and we don't just think about other people, how it might be good for them, but we think about ourselves. That we understand the need and vitality of inviting the word of God. God, I need you to correct me. I need your word to rebuke me. I need your word to train me to be all that you've called me to be so that I can be equipped to do every good work. Could it be what your restless soul needs? It's humility. And to ask God the simple question, search my heart again. Could it be what your weary soul needs? It's humility. God, search my heart. May we be a church that trusts God to search our hearts again. All of it. God, I trust you with my life, my sin, my weakness, my family, my finances. I trust you with my pain, with my disappointments. I trust you with the unknown. I trust that you are working good in all things, even when all things feel like hopeless things. I know the world will let me down. People will let me down. Even your church will let me down because the church is full of imperfect people. Can I get an amen? But I know I can always trust and my Savior. Even when it doesn't make sense, God, may we trust you. Even if obeying your word has outcomes that do not benefit my time here on earth, may we be a church that trusts God anyway. Church, if there's one thing I have learned, the longer that I'm a Christian, the more aware I am that I'm not that good. The deeper that I grow in my relationship with God, the more I understand how much I need him more. I have learned that I'm just not that good. I don't trust myself to do what God has called me to do without his word. I don't trust myself to lead my family, to raise my children in this crazy world on my own without being led and directed by God and his word. Church, I've just discovered I'm just not that good to do what God has called me to do. Can't do it without trusting his word. And church, the beauty as we close, the beauty of this gospel is that no matter who you are today in person or online, no matter how far from God you think you are, no matter what pit you find yourself in, and maybe you're the reason you're there, that you can always trust Jesus to rescue you. To save you. Can always trust the grace of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and if you're a Christian in this place, I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray for your friends that are here today. Pray for people in the church today and online, our online campus. Before we hand back, I'm going to ask you to pray as well. And if you're here today and you say, Josh, I don't know what it is to trust God. I've only ever trusted myself, the world. But God, today, I want to trust you. If you are in this place today and you are not a Christian and you want to give your life to Jesus, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, you can just simply raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. And once I've seen it, you can put it back down. But if you're here today, say, Josh, I'm done trying to do this on my own. I want to know what it is to trust my God who created me, who knows me better than anybody else, who knows what's best for me. I want to know him. Friend, the beauty of this gospel, the power of this gospel is that you don't need to get yourself together, but just as you are, Jesus invites you to know him. One, if that's you in this place, when I count to three, you can just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Already four people online have made decisions to follow Jesus. I love it. If you're in this service, come on, church, pray. Come on, pray. Eternity's in the balance. If you're in this service today, here and online, you can continue to click that button. Say, Josh, that's me. Friend, I'm not asking, do you believe in God? The devil believes in God. I'm not asking, do you go to church? What I'm asking is, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of all of your sins? Plan and purpose that God has for your life. Two, maybe you're in this service today, and if you're being honest with yourself, you've walked away from God. You stopped trusting God. You're backslidden. Friend, the good news is God is not angry. God is not mad. In fact, God is sitting here today with his arms wide open, smiling at you, saying, son, daughter, welcome home again. You can trust me again. Three, if that's you in this place, whether for the first time or you need to make this decision again, raise your hand high enough, another hand there, another hand there, another hand there, two more over there. Once I've seen it, you can put it down. Give me a wave. If I haven't seen it, say, Josh, that's me. I see your hand. Awesome. Another hand there, another hand there. Awesome. I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm not leaving church today without putting my full trust in my Lord and my Savior. Just a moment longer. Online, you can continue to click that button. I'm just going to wait a moment longer. Say, Josh, that's me. Josh, that's me. Church, continue to pray. I'm just going to wait a couple more seconds. I see your hand right there. Amen. I see your hand there. Amen. Amen. Church, can we lift our eyes together? Can we give the loudest shout of praise? Come on, church. Come on, church. Church, come on. Can we give the loudest shout of praise? We give it all day. Church, this is the beauty, this is the power of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he found us in our sin and in our shame and went to the cross and rose from the dead. Come on, church, can we give our loudest shout of praise? Amen. Say, Josh, calm down. My prayer is that we just don't ever get used to what just took place. That we get to call a church home where people every single week, eternity's changed. I pray we never get used to that. Amen? We're going to pray a simple prayer. And then Pastor Luke's going to come and encourage us in one or two other things that are important for us in the life of our church. So I want to encourage you to stay with us. We're almost done. But we're going to pray a simple prayer here in person and online. As a church family, we do this every single week, and it's a prayer that changes everything, and it may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here where it matters. So can we say this prayer together, church? Can we say it together? Come on, let's pray. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, forgiving me of my sins, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm going to live for you. I trust you. And everybody said, amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give. Let's celebrate every single person.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.